Hello, gentlemen. Let us get started. We are on the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis. We just saw, at some great length, the Gemara brought down a brisa in order to explain what was meant in a different brisa by the word ones. What situation is that referring to? We discussed the case where either the father of the chasen or the mother of the kala is nifter, passes away just before the wedding is due to start. Do we continue with the wedding or not? And the Brisa says we do. We discussed if it's in every situation, how much of the preparation has to have been done in order for us to meet the requirement of being allowed to continue with the wedding, and if some of the preparations were not done, do we then say let's push off the wedding to a different time? So that was the Brisa that we had quoted, and once we quoted that brisa, we ended up bringing down a very, very similar brisa, almost exactly the same, with the exception that it had an extra line of Shelo Nasa Magbayim Magabi Baser. Or I should say that it's Vinasa Magbayim Magabi Baser. The water had been put on the meat, which was one of the criteria that we had discussed after the brisa had been quoted. That really the brisa's halacha was only true if they actually put water on the meat. And then, in fact, you know, brought another brisa, which was again almost identical, with the exception that it said this halacha is only true if you put water on the meat, which would seem to be a pretty strong indication, according that the person who said that the first brisa is only true is in fact right. We brought it as a proof to him. However, aside from that one extra line, it had another addition. It also mentioned that some of the halachos that applied in this case of combination of Avelos Shiva and Sheva Brachos, when you're trying to balance those two things, you know, Chasen or Akalo who has to sit Shiva, how do they do it? Do they do it before Sheva Brachos, after Sheva Brachos? We said the halacha was that they do it assuming that the case that we were talking about holds up and they are told to go through with the wedding after their parent has passed away, then they get married and they're together, then they are to separate. However, they do Sheva Brachos after, well, they bury the mace and then they do Sheva Brachos and then they sit Shiva after that, and the entire time the brisa said they're not to be together, although the kala is allowed to put on certain makeup, which we were told is in order that she shouldn't become or appear disgusting to her husband. Her husband shouldn't feel like this isn't really the woman I married. She doesn't really look very nice. So therefore, during that sort of beginning honeymoon phase, even though one of them is in Avelos and sitting Shiva, nevertheless, the Kala is allowed to put on makeup. These halachos are all going to become relevant again very shortly. Specifically, I'd like to call your attention to that extra addition at the end of the brisa, that all those halachos which are true are that second brisa added in, v'chein mi shepir se ishtonida hu yashin ben ha'anashim v'hi shen ben ha'anashim. And similarly, one whose wife becomes a nida, he sleeps amongst the men and she sleeps amongst the women. And when he said that halacha was, they're not allowed to do yichud together. And similarly, the halacha is true then also that we're not holding back any makeup and so on. But specifically, we said this line about a woman who becomes a nida on the day of her chuppah, she sleeps amongst the men and he sleeps amongst the women. Let us see Rav Yosef now, about five lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Darash. And Rav Yosef is going to lead us into a very interesting discussion, a psychological discussion a little bit, because we're going to determine what exactly is the threshold where we trust a person not to do something wrong, not to be over an isser. There are certain cases where we know, and this is a case, just as an example, that the Gemara is going to discuss, a person who is married, and is, at some point during the month, his wife is ushered to him, because she's a nida. Is he allowed to sleep in the same room as she? Are they allowed to do yichud together? So the halacha is, in fact, yes. We referenced this briefly last time, that it would be quite inconvenient if every, let's say 2 weeks out of every month, a husband and wife were not able to be miyachid together and one of them had to leave the house.
at least until, you know, they have kids that are old enough or so on. But the point is, that's not the halacha, that's not how we paskin. So clearly, we're not concerned that in such a case, the person's taiva is going to overwhelm him, and we allow him and his wife to sleep in the same room. However, there may be other cases, like the one we discussed by the husband and wife who are in Avelos. They're not supposed to be together when they're Avelim. They're not allowed to be Miyachet together either. They're only, they have to sleep in separate, you know, the way they describe it in the Brisa, almost sounds like separate dormitories, but the point is they can't be Miyachet. So let us now see Rav Yosef, who's going to lead us again into this discussion about when and where we'll put a person in a position to potentially be over an Isra, and we trust them to hold back. Darash Rav Yosef, Berei de Rava, Mishmei de Rava. Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, said in his father's name, Lo shanu ela shelo baal. We only learned that this halacha is true where the husband and wife had never been together before. Aval baal. But if the husband and wife had been together before, ishto yishena imo. His wife sleeps together with him. They can be in the same room. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, and I guess it would be worthwhile to clarify that at this point in the Gemara thinks that Rav Yosef's statement was referring to the entire Braisa in general, not specifically any one case, but the entire Braisa, which talked about cases of where the father of the chosen or the mother of the kala were nifter, or other cases. And the Gemara's problem is, the Gemara now says, the halacha the b'baal askinan. We were dealing with a case where the husband and wife already were together. So therefore, it seems a little bit strange that Rav Yosef is telling us, or really Rava is telling us, that the halacha is only true where they weren't together yet. But if they were together, they could sleep in the same dormitory. They could sleep in the same room, I should say. What do you mean? We just said that the halacha is if they weren't together yet, if they were together already, and they yet we said that they still have to sleep in separate rooms. So why is it that Rav Yosef is telling us something which seems to be in direct contradiction to the Braisa that he himself is discussing? So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara answers... Oh, sorry, the Gemara spells out, V'halacha de'Baal askinan v'katani hu yashin ben ha'anashim v'hi yishena ben ha'anashim. So we saw that even though it was a case of Baal, in fact, they did have to separate. So the Gemara answers, Ki ka'amar, when did Rav Yosef, when did Rava say this statement? Pirsa ishta nida. On the case of Pirsa ishta nida. So let's, for clarity's sake, look at Rashi, and then we can clarify what the Gemara just said. Rashi says, Rashi divur hamaschil lo shanu, de'in ne'emanun lehisyachid. We did not learn the halacha that they're not allowed, they're not trusted to be miyachid with each other. Ela shalo baal, in a case where they weren't together yet, the talk of le'yitzre, where if they weren't together yet, his yitzre is going to overpower him. What's the difference if they were together already? So, at some point, I believe Rashi will tell us, spell this out, the idea is that there's an idea of what's called pas besalo, which literally translates to bread in his basket. What it really means is that when a person knows he has more, he feels a certain amount of security, and therefore doesn't feel the same need to sort of have more. It's sort of like that idea of, well, if you can't have your cake and eat it too, but we'd all like to, because we'd like to be able to eat it and enjoy it, and at the same time have the security of knowing that there's more. So, in this instance, where he doesn't have that idea of pas besalo, he's never had it before, he doesn't really, like have it already, so to speak. Therefore, we're concerned that he'll be more likely to fall prey to his yetzer. Rashi says, "Dibbal askinan, diktani bo'al bilas mitzvah lefnei kivuras hames," that it said in the Braisa that they are in fact together before the mace is buried. And then that's when they separate. So clearly, the case of where they're separating is also a case where they're already together. So Rashi spells out in the Gemara's answer, Ki ka'amar Rava, when did Rava say his statement? Lo shanu, he said that that idea of Lo shanu, apirse ishna nida ka'amar. He said it on the case of apirse ishna nida. The kivana, the nida chamura. Since nida, the isser of nida, is in fact a very severe isser. Baal mehemen Allah. The husband is trusted about that. He's not going to come to sort of cheapen, literally, which in our case means to violate, an Isser Karis. the punishment for one who's together with his wife when she is a kares, the punishment for one who's together with his wife when she is a nida during that time of the month is kares. Right, he gets cut off from his people, pretty severe punishment. And we assume a person's not going to be so quick to be over on such an issur, even if they were together already. It's a little unclear exactly how it is that Rav is going on the statement of Pirsa Ishtonida. The case of Pirsa Ishtonida is where she became a Nida on the way to the Chuppah, and therefore they have to sleep in separate rooms. And Rav is telling us that in that case, that's only true if they weren't together. If they were together already, and it's a case of Nida, then they don't need to sleep in separate rooms. Okay, so I guess the idea is that if a person was not yet together with his wife, despite the fact that there's this severe Isser Karis looming over his head, his Yetzer might still get the better of him, and he might do something that he'll later regret. However, by a case of where they were together already, we're not as concerned he's going to feel the same need, so to speak, the same strong urge from his Yetzer to be together with his wife. He'll know that he already was together. He knows there'll be a chance for him to be together with her in the future. There's no reason for him to have to sort of, you know, rush it. And he'll be able to sort of hold back. The idea of this psychology is it's certainly very subtle, and it seems somewhat fickle and arbitrary, because on the one hand, we said that they're not trusted if they weren't together yet. But they were trusted if they have been together already. They are trusted, the husband really is trusted if they were together already. However, that's only by something which is a severe isser, an isser karis. However, when it comes to the isser, the prohibition of being together with his wife, as a result of sort of an avelus type of isser, the fact that they're not allowed to be together when one of them is an avelus. So that, even if they were together already, then we're still not going to trust the husband to be miyached with his wife. And because we're nervous that his yetzer will get the better of him. So the Gemara is going to clarify a little bit why it is that some cases are more sort of heavy, literally. It's more strict, more severe to the husband. In other cases, not so much. However, before we get into that discussion, the Gemara has a little bit of a problem, sort of what we call a Meneu Bei problem, in the explanation we just said. We just said the Rav Yosef statement is going on the comment of the Braisa that if a woman becomes a Nida on her way to the Chuppah, they are not allowed to be Miyached if they were not together. And if they had been together already, then they could be Miyached. The Gemara says, Havachin Katani. And this is a very important point, because the Lashon of the Mishnah, the Lashon of a Mishnah or Braisa chooses to use in any case is very indicative of what the intentions of the writer of the Braisa were, and the Gemara is very careful to note particulars of Lashon in all these kinds of Tanaic sources, Mishnayos and Braisas. And in this instance, the word that they're picking up on is the word V'chein. If we look back at the Braisa, it's about a third of the way up the page, it says, V'chein mi shepirsa ishtonida hu yashin ben ha'anashim v'hi yashena ben ha'anashim. That use of the word v'chein, which literally means and similarly, or and so too, it sounds like they're drawing a parallel between the halacha of when his wife is a nida and the halacha of when he or his wife are an avelus. That v'chein would seem to imply that the cases are the same. Generally, we know that Tanayim want to maintain a certain amount of, I guess the best word is parallelism, consistency, flow, perhaps. I'm not sure exactly what the best word is for it, when they write a Braisa. So we generally assume that if there are two cases in a particular Mishnah, let's say a Reisha and a Seifa, if the Tanna says one case in Halacha, then a second case in Halacha, we assume that anything other than the differences that the Tanna spelled out between the two cases remain the same. In other words, the Tanna had one particular difference that he wanted to express between the two cases. Let's say one case is during the day and one case is during the night. But the fact that if one of the cases took place in a house, and we know that for reason X, then we can safely assume that the second case also took place in a house, as opposed to being outside. Because the difference that the Tana seemed to want to spell out was night and day. However, the difference between a house and out of a house, the Tana didn't specify, he didn't express that, and therefore we can safely say that whatever one of the cases was, however it is that we came to know that, we can assume that the second case is the same situation. Now, applying that to our case, we know that the case of Avelus, that's what we're going to refer to it, the case of Avelus, which is the case where the mother of the Kala or the father of the Chasan were Nifter, and then we had the whole situation where they were together and then buried the mace, and then Shiva, Rafa, and Shiva. That whole situation, that case of Avelus, is where they were in fact together already, and yet even after they were together, they have to sleep in separate places on subsequent nights while one of them is in Avelus. And yet, the Mishnah uses the word v'chein, which even more strongly implies, even more so than just our regular run-of-the-mill assumption that two cases of a Mishnah are the same case other than the differences that were spelled out, but even more so it says v'chein, implying that it's similar, it's the same. And similarly, by case of Pirsei Ishtonida, and we would tend to assume that that means, similarly in the case of Pirsei Ishtonida, where they were already together, then they have to then separate after that. But Rav Yosef's statement was, they don't have to separate if they're already together by a case of Nida. So how do we explain this word V'chein according to Rav Yosef's statement? So the Gemara explains on the top of Dalet Amud Beis as follows. Halchika Amar. V'chein mi shepirsa ishto Nida. And similarly, one who his wife became a Nida, v'lo baal, and he had not yet been together, hu yashim ben ha'anashim v'sheshin ben ha'anashim. So, basically, what the Gemara is doing is essentially creating what we would call in Yeshiva, Wav Davka. It's not really a noun, it's really an adjective, but somehow those lines sometimes get skewed. The word Wav Davka means not specific or not exact. Essentially, the Gemara is saying that even though the Lashon of V'chein, it does seem to indicate that the cases should be the same, the Gemara's, the use of the word v'chein is really only applying to the fact that there's a case where the husband and wife do have to sleep in separate places, and are not allowed to be miyached. V'chein, this other case, where they had already been together, they do have to sleep in, they would, excuse me, where they had not yet been together, they would have to sleep in separate places, even though the previous case was where they had been together. Nevertheless, the Mishnah feels comfortable using the word v'chein in that context. And so, as of this point, the Gemara feels they have a proper explanation for fitting Rava's or Rav Yosef's statement into the brisa that we saw on Dalet Amud Aleph. Now that we're turning the page on to Dalet Amud Beis, let us see the top Rashi. The bottom Rashi in Dalet Amud Aleph. We should probably take a look at first. Havachin Katani. Rashi says, "Kosak Adaitach Akulam Nosu Davelos Nedaminamah." Which literally means I would have thought, which is Rashi's way of explaining to us that the Gemara would have thought, originally did think, that the V'chein is referring to the entire matter of Avelus. It's comparing it to the case of Nida to the entire case of Avelus, other than the slight difference that the Isser is not Avelus, the Isser is Nida. Uva'avelus de Baal askinan, we're talking about the Avelus of the Baal, and that line is very interesting and perhaps very telling, that those last three words of Rashi, because we originally were discussing really cases where the Baal and the wife, or the wife, I guess, either or, the halacha seemed to be the same. This is the first indication where the first indication that we have that there's a difference between the avelus of the husband and the avelus of the wife. However, that distinction is going to become quite important on Dalet Amud Beis, as we shall see shortly. Let us continue. Oh, but just to spell out how Rashi's using it in this instance before we continue, I'm sorry. The Rashi is telling us that the husband sort of not being trusted, even though they were already together, and net isser of them being together is only by the avelus of the husband. Perhaps the reason might be, and we'll have to see if this holds up on the next page in Dalet Amud Beis. Perhaps the reason might be that when the wife is an avelus, we're not concerned that she's going to want to violate that avelus as much as we would be concerned by the husband. By the wife being an avelus, we're just not nervous that her yetzer hara is going to be quite as strong. We know that by men, the yetzer hara for for taiva and for being together is much stronger than it is for a woman. Okay, so let us see Rashi on the top of Dalet Amud Beis. Halika Amar v'chulei kolomar. Kika Amar v'chein. Rashi uses the key word kolomar, which is to tell us that he's sort of taking the words of the Gemara. Well, usually kolomar is used to teach us, to tell us that Rashi is taking the words of the Gemara and re-explaining them in a way that doesn't seem to fit with their literal meaning. In this instance, he's really explaining to us that the Gemara is taking the literal meaning of the Mishnah and re-explaining it not according to its literal translation. Kolomar, as if to say, the Mishnah was trying to tell us, Ki ka'amar v'chein, when did it say the word v'chein? Ahu yashin bein ha'anashim v'hi yishin bein ha'anashim ka'amar. On the words, Hu yashin bein ha'anashim v'hi yishin bein ha'anashim, on that particular halacha, Hu la'olam hach b'shlo ba'alkai. And really, this case of Pirsei Shtanita is really a case, like Rav Yosef said, of where he was not yet together with his wife. Okay, so up until this point, the Gemara feels they have a satisfactory explanation for fitting Rav Yosef's comment on the Brisa, and sort of making sense of it and fitting it into the Brisa that he was discussing. Now the Gemara gets into comparing various Isurim, and when some Isurim are more chamer, more strict to a husband, or less chamer. Let us take a look. The Gemara says lememra, and the Gemara's use of the word lememra often does not mean what it looks like it should mean, which is to say, but rather to say with a question mark at the end. And the way you read that is lememra. Does that mean to say da avelus kilele minida? The avelus, the isser of being together with one's spouse during avelus, is a lighter, a less serious isser to him than the Isser of Nida, which is again pretty much how we set it up, because we said that by Nida, the threshold for when will allow him to be Miyachid with his wife is only if he was already together with her, meaning we trust him somewhat more than by Avelos. By Avelos, even when they were together already, and we have that pas besalo factor, nevertheless, we say the husband and the wife are not allowed to be together, they're not allowed to sleep in the same room. Not allowed to be miyached, to be precise. So the Gemara seems to feel that the idea of avelus, the isser of avelus, of a spouse being together when they're in mourning, should not, based on the proof we're about to bring in just a line, should not be more, light or less strict than the isser of nida, just the opposite. Why is that? The Ha'amar of Yitzchak Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Chanina said, Amar Avuna, Nimar Avuna, Kol Mulachos She'isha Osa Labayla, Nida Osa Labayla. Any activities, any sort of work, any actions which a woman ordinarily does for her husband, a woman who's a Nida can also do for her husband. I guess that would include perhaps certain household activities, cooking, cleaning. Chutz, except for the following exceptions, Mimizigas Hakos. Pouring the kos, which we're going to see Mashi exactly what that is, and the hatzas hamita, and spreading out the sheets, which again, that's only in particular cases. We'll see if Rashi specifies for us. V'arachotzas panav yod levaraglov, and washing his face, his hands, and his feet. So we see that barring certain exceptions, Anita can do pretty much everything for her husband that she would be able to do even if she was completely mutter. V'ilu gavi avelus tanya, and now this is the kicker, this is where the Gemara feels they have a basis to draw a comparison between avelus and Anita and show that avelus is in fact treated as more chomer to the husband than Anita. It says by Avelos, Af al pi sha'amru, ein adam mashai lakof asishta li hiyos kochas, li hiyos pokasas. Even though a man is not permitted to force his wife to put on certain types of makeup, the MS Amru, they said, in truth they said, Mozegas la kos, amatzas la mita. She can pour the kos, she can also spread out the sheets for him. So the exact same things that we said a woman who's a nida is allowed to do for her husband, we said that by avelus, a woman is not allowed to do, when her husband is an avel, a woman is not allowed to do for her husband, which would seem to imply that the reason we're concerned about a woman doing certain things for her husband in general is because it's going to create a certain mood, a certain atmosphere, which is going to make it more difficult to restrain themselves from being together. And we don't want to create any kind of mood or atmosphere of that sort. We want to maintain certain gedarim, certain boundaries. And by Anita, it seems that we're a little bit more concerned with creating certain boundaries, whereas by Avelis, we're not really concerned. By Avelis, we let her do certain things for him, which would seem to imply, why do we let her do those things for him? Because we're not really concerned by Avelis. He's going to come to be together, which would seem to imply that the Isser of Avelis, that the husband is holding back based on the fact that he's in mourning, is sort of more strict to him, and therefore he's more likely to be able to hold back. He views it as a more severe breach, a more severe violation of a mitzvah. Let us see now how Rashi explained these different cases. Rashi says, Kilalei, right, this is the words of the Gemara saying that it was easy to him to sort of violate one more than the other. Lavor aleha minida, it's easier to be over on Avelis than Nida. Why? Da Avelis lo mehemeneslei. By Avelis we see he's not trusted. Va'anida mehemeneslei. By Nida he is trusted. Why? Because presumably Nida is such a severe issur, he would never come so close as to violate it. This is going in the Brisa now, this next Rashi, and the Brisa that we quoted, Malachos Sha'isha Oselavayla, the Kaman Tani Luhu Perak Afalfi, and Rashi tells us where it's to be found. Chutz Mimizigas Kos Lahoshidlo. Rashi tells us that what's happening is the wife is pouring the kos with wine in order to then hand it to him, to extend it to him. Which, I guess there's some kind of a problem when she puts it in front of her husband, that's going to create a certain amount of chiba, a certain amount of attraction between them. Again, it's very subtle and hard to know exactly how it is that these things create an attraction. And very often in these kinds of cases, when we try to apply them to sort of nowadays modern examples, we really need the help of the poskim to know when they do apply and when they don't apply. Because these things may be based on a certain mood or a certain importance, that a significance that was attached to a particular action, which nowadays may not seem important at all. Somebody pouring you a drink, you know, that's the bartender's job. So when your wife does it for you, it's nice, but it's not really something that you may attach so much significance to. That's why we need to know exactly from the poskim in which cases these things are usher and in which cases they are not. In certain cases they may be, in certain cases not. Rashi is Vatzas Amita Varchazes Panavuchulesha Derach Kiru Vachibahim. That it's a type of closeness and attraction. Uban the Hergoldavar, and they'll come to like a certain amount of familiarity, which again will lead to a Hergoldavar, presumably, in Rashi's, in this case, is a euphemism by Rashi, which means that they'll come to have relations. Ein Adam Mishai Lakov Pesishto, the next Rashi tells us that in the case of Avelis, the person is not permitted to force his wife, Bimei Evla, in the days of her mourning, when her father or her mother died. And again, now we're seeing a seemingly significant Rashi. The Rashi specifies that case is when not he was in Avelis, but in fact she was in Avelis. She's the one in mourning, and he's not permitted to force her to put on certain types of makeup. Rashi tells us, Pokesas, Ma'averis, Srak Alpana. She passes some kind of a paint over her face. Right? So it's some kind of a blush or rouge or something of that sort. And in that case, by Avelis, we allow her to pour the kos and to then hand it to him, and we're not concerned about any kind of familiarity developing, which will lead to them being together. Alma Avelis Chamirle. Therefore, we see that Avelis is in fact more strict to him. It's more of a heavy duty isser that he's not going to be so quick to violate, even in cases where there might be something to kind of lead him in that direction. Still, we say, we're not worried that that's going to happen. It might be a wise idea for him to hold back from such activities, but at the same time, we're not going to ask her because we're not concerned that anything's going to happen. So now comes the kicker, the line that we sort of alluded to a couple times already. The Gemara answers Lokashia. This apparent contradiction between the explanation that we had, again, this all comes down to Rava's statement. Because it was only based on Rava's statement that the case of Nida was where they were not yet together, that we then were forced to make a differentiation between Nida and to say that Nida is more chamer to him and therefore we trust him more. And Avelis, where we don't trust him as much. So that explanation was then contradicted by these other two brises that we quoted, which seemed to indicate that we trust him more by Avelis. And if anything, it would make more sense to let him be miyachid with his wife by Avelis, rather than by Nida. So the Gemara answer is, Lo kashya, kan ba Avelis dide, kan ba Avelis dide. One case is by where he is in mourning, in one case is where she is in mourning. Let us see Rashi in order to explain how this helps us at all. Rashi tells us, kan ba Avelis dide, lo'olam really Avelis kilalei minida. Ordinarily, we're going to maintain sort of what was our status quo, what we started with, that Avelis is really not as strict to him as Nida. And that was the conclusion that we drew when we understood the brisa according to Rava's statement. Vahani mas nisa, and these other brises that we quoted, which seem to indicate the opposite of that, hachi mitarzen. This is how you're going to answer them up. Hadik tani la'el, hu yashin bein ha'anashim v'chulei. That which we said earlier, that they have to not be miyachid together. And in the case of Avelis, that was the case of, again, where one of their parents dies, and then they are together, and then they have the kfur, and then they have the sheva brachos, and they have the shiva. That's where it was his father who died. V'hach diktani mozegas lo v'chule, in that other brisa that we quoted more recently, where it said that she's allowed to pour on the kos, Avelis didakai. That's by her Avelis. Diktani in other mashai laka v'chule, that we said a person is not permitted to force his wife to do anything when she's in Avelis. Alma ba Avelis didakai minan. Therefore, we see that it was really talking about her Avelis all along. She ain't a rotsa lichol of lifkos. She's not going to want to put on any kind of a makeup when she is in Avelis. V'hainu taima, the mozegas. And this is the reason why she's allowed to then pour the kos. The imis gabri yitzra love, that if his yitzra, by virtue of her doing this action, his yitzra becomes strong to him and he's sort of unable to contain himself, kivin de Avelis didahu, since it is her Avelis, ena shoma aslo. She will not listen to him. As I guess we're not concerned about any kind of a rape, and therefore she'll say no. She won't acquiesce so easily when she's in Avelis. It's very interesting to note and to just recognize the sensitivity that the Torah has for a person in terms of giving them nisyonos, which they have the ability to pass. One could easily take the perspective in reading this Gemara of saying, the whole thing's ridiculous. Tell the guy to man up and suck it up and just deal with it. Don't be so tempted by your yetzer. The Torah is telling you it's aser. You want to follow the Torah or not? Obviously, we're talking about somebody who wants to follow halacha, because if we weren't, then he wouldn't care that the Gemara says it's aser anyway. So obviously, it's somebody who wants to follow halacha. So what's the difference if it becomes a little more difficult or a little bit harder to restrain himself? Restrain yourself anyways. That's the halacha. Be a man. The answer to that question really is that being a man involves knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses, knowing where you can pass any sayon, knowing where you cannot pass any sayon. And for ourselves, we're not always able to determine exactly where to draw that line. But the Torah, and certainly Chazal on a lower level, the Torah in its infinite wisdom and Chazal in their high level, we're able to recognize where to draw the line based on how much a person is able to tolerate and how much a person is not able to tolerate. Of course, it depends on the person. Because all we're drawing lines for all of Klal Yisrael. And those lines, we can assume, came from their tremendous level of Das Torah and Yerushalayim, and so on and so forth, which led them to recognize and to sort of pierce into the hearts of people and to see that in certain cases we have to sort of have people restrain themselves without their own choice, meaning put Gedarim in place that will keep them at bay. So as of now, we have an answer to our contradiction that we brought up a minute ago, which was that Rava's statement had led us to say that the Isser of Nida is more chomer to a person than the Isser of Avelis. And yet the brises that we quoted subsequently seem to indicate the opposite. Now we see as follows, that really, of course, Nida is the case sort of where we trust the person the most, so to speak. However, and therefore, Nida is, we're going to allow them to be miyached if they're already together once. By Avelis, we also will trust them to do certain things, and perhaps miyachid even, if it's her that's an avelos, because we know that she will not listen to him by her own avelos, just because he says, you know, let's be together, she'll say, it's my avelos, it's my parents, tough. However, we're more concerned when it's his avelos, and therefore we don't trust him. So we sort of have created a little bit of hierarchy of trust, so to speak, a hierarchy of trustworthiness for different situations. We have sort of the highest level of trust, the highest level of I don't know, trust is probably the best word we can use. The highest level of nemanos for a person is the case where she's an avelos. And even though really he doesn't view avelos as such a severe iser, but since it's her iser in that instance and she doesn't, and she's the one in avelos, she's going to ensure, we sort of rely on her to hold back and to make sure that nothing happens. Then level two. And that again, that level one is sort of a fake level one, because really we're not trusting him anymore. But we're trusting the situation because of the fact that she's the one in avelos. The next level down is nida, where we know the halacha is they are allowed to be miyached if they're already together once. And the next level down is where he's in avelos. And there we don't really trust him at all. And even if they were together once, we require them to separate during the days of avelos. Now again, we shouldn't assume that this gemara is halacha l'maisa. If a person was in avelos nowadays, and it wasn't right after the wedding, it could very well be that he would be allowed to sleep in the same room as his wife. That child should be presented to a competent halachic authority. The only difficulty which the gemara is going to pose with this, which many of you may be thinking, is the fact that we ourselves said that the halacha of them sleeping in separate rooms after they were already together seemed to be true in a case where his father died or her mother died. Her mother dying means she's the one in avelos. So isn't she going to make sure that nothing happens? And the Gemara, in fact, asks this question next. The Gemara says, V'ha aviv shalchasana o'ima shalkal katani. Doesn't it say that it's the case where the father of the chasan or the mother of the kala were the ones who passed away? So if that's the case, so then it doesn't really make so much sense what we said. We said that the wife is going to make sure if she's the one in avelos that nothing happens, and therefore we can trust them in the same way that we created this hierarchy, and the highest level of trust, the highest case of trust, is where she's an avelos, even more so than when she's a nida, and it's his iser. That means if they're trusted to be miyached once they were together, when she's a nida, then certainly in the highest case of trust, where it's her avelos, then we'll trust them to be miyached in the same room, and be in the same room, sleep in the same room together. So the Gemara answers, Ki katani ashaira. We only said that case, so to speak, on all the other halachos. Let's just to clarify that. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'ha aviv shal chasim v'chulei. Alma ba'avelos dida nami achmir tana d'la'el. So we see that even by her avelos, the Tana was also concerned and was more strict than by a case of Nida. Because why was the Tana more strict? Because the husband is likely to view it as less strict. So the Gemara answered, Ki katani, ima shel kala. When did we say that the case of that brisa is ima shel kala? In other words, regarding what halachos were we discussing the case of ima shel kala? Ashaira. And all the other halachas that were mentioned, besides for hu yashin bin ha'anashim v'hi yashin bin ha'anashim, that's when the case of Yom Shalkala is relevant. Rashi explains ha'anachnisim ha'meis l'cheder, regarding the whole process of bringing the mace into the room, and then the shavar brachos and the shiva. Ava hu yashin bin ha'anashim ha'avelos t'chazim kari. But hu yashin bin ha'anashim, that idea of them not being allowed to be miyached, that's only talking about avelos of the chazim, the avelos of the man. That's the case where, that's the level 3 trust, and therefore we're nervous. Now the Gemara is going to bring in yet more Bikias, more Tanaic sources, which are going to be a little problematic for us. Let's take a look. Vahatanya, and didn't we learn in a Braisa Mishemes chamiv o chamoso, a person whose mother-in-law or father-in-law dies. Oh, excuse me, I apologize. We skipped one key line, which is going to introduce that question. The Gemara asks, "Umishayni bin avelas didei la avelas dida." The Gemara is going to challenge the entire premise that there's any difference between him being an avel and her being an avel. We give a reason for it because by her being an avel, she will sort of hold back, and when he's an avel, we're not as sure that he will be able to hold back when it's his isser. However, despite that explanation, the Gemara challenges, maybe even still there's no difference. Maybe she won't be able to maintain that standard when she's an avelus the way we think she will. Why is that? We seem to see an indication of that in this brisa, the Hatanya. Misha meis chama v'chamosa, a person whose mother-in-law or father-in-law dies. Einu yachol lakof es ishto liyos kocheles liyos pokeses. He's not able to force his wife to put on any of these kinds of makeup. Ela kofa mitoso v'nogim avelos. He folds up his bed, which is just a lashon that the Gemara uses, which is an indication that you're sort of either putting the bed on the ground or doing something which makes the bed more of a morning type of bed, a more uncomfortable type. V'nogim avelos, and he then accustoms himself with her in avelos. In other words, he sort of expresses that midah of iman achibitzara, that he sort of has to express that mournful feeling and follow certain of those halachos together with his wife. And then we see this key word again that we mentioned earlier, v'chein. Similarly, he shemes chamia o chamosa. She, that her, a woman whose father-in-law or mother-in-law passes on, she's not allowed to put on any of these kinds of makeup. Elakova mitaza, she folds up her bed. She again makes it into more of an uncomfortable type. Venohagas imo avelis, and she is sort of accustoms herself with avelis in the same way that he does. So it seems pretty clear that there's a parallel between her avelis and his avelis. It doesn't seem to be any distinction between the halachos in those two cases. If that's the case, why did we just draw any distinction for ourselves between avelos didei and avelos dida, his avelos and her avelos? So the Gemara now has reason to question that idea. So the Gemara answers, Tani ba'avelos didei, we're going to sort of teach, we're going to sort of insert into that brisa, by his avelos, Hu yashin bein ha'anashim, v'ishto yishena bein hanashim. In other words, we're basically, it's unclear sometimes when the Gemara does this, if they are making a addition, making a girsa change to that brisa that they found. In other words, it must be that there was a line missing from that brisa that we just never had. And it's also unclear if perhaps what they're doing is, even though the line is not there, it's kind of implied, and this is what it really meant to say. It depends on the circumstance. In this particular instance, it may be even a machlokas between two different Bali Tosfos, which we will see if we get a chance to see. In any event, they're making an addition, or they're just saying that there's a line that's implied, but they're saying that essentially what the Brisa means, that by his avelos, they aren't allowed to be miyached. And so we see that there's a distinction, and in fact that jives with the halachos that we discussed earlier, that by his avelos, he treats it as more light, and therefore we have to treat it for him sort of as more chomer. And by her avelos, we're not as concerned, and therefore by his avelos, we have this extra halacha of them having to sleep in separate rooms. So the Gemara asks, Havachain katani? Again, we ask that question. It says Vachain, that would seem to imply that there's a parallel. So again, either they're asking, how are you able to make such an addition? Or if they're not actually making that addition, the question is, how can you tell me that the Mishnah is implying that? Just the opposite. The Mishnah seems to say the chain, implying that there's as much parallel as we can possibly draw. So the Gemara answer is, Kikotani, when did we use that word of the chain? Akichel upivapirchas. It's going on that idea of not being allowed to wear those types of makeup, which is true both in his avelos and in her avelos. So the Gemara asks the next question, another lashon which seems to be indicative that they're the same. V'ha'imokotami. it says the word imo, that he and she, well, it says she really, is noheg with him avelus. In other words, the avelus that he's noheg, she's also noheg, but he uses the terminology with him. So he says, my love imo b'mita, does that not mean that she's together with him in the bed, meaning that they're able to sleep in the same room, they're able to be miyached? And how the Gemara is able to interpret that subtlety of Lashon, imo, is meaning net, as opposed to what they're about to say, is not so clear. The Gemara answers, lo. No, that's not what it means. Imo b'bayis. It means with him in the house. In other words, they're in the same house, but they're not being miyached together. Okay. So, let's see Rashi to clarify the last couple steps, just because there's a lot of back and forth there. Rashi says, Alma, therefore we see, from the fact that we don't see ba'avelas didei, the words hu yashim bein ha'anashim, that line of saying that they have to not be miyached. Shvami na chamer lei, v'lo shanilan. We see from this that it is in fact sort of strict to him, and there's no difference to us between his avelas and her avelas. So we might answer. Rashi just tells the Gerz Hachi Garsin and Tani Bavelas Dei Hu Yashayim Vichulei. And Rashi tells another Gerz Hachi Garsin. And Vah Imo Kutani My Lav Imo B'mita Alma. Therefore, we see Avelas Dei Nani Nehemen. By his Avelas is also trusted. And again, that would seem to indicate that they weren't really making an addition and changing the Gersa, but rather they were just saying it is implied. And now we see another indication that it's not implied. So my answer over there: Lo Imo B'bayis V'Tani Malav Mishum De Mehemen Nakala. And they didn't use that word of imo to indicate that there is in fact a certain amount of trust in this case. Elashmin, rather, to teach us the ein aveluso mutul aleha, that his avelus, is not placed on her. When he's an avel, she's not mechayev to keep all halachas of avelus. El b'fanav, rather in front of him. Mishum kvodo, because of sort of his honor, meaning it's sort of insulting. You know, I'm stuck in avelus, and you're just acting as if nothing's going on. So therefore, the wife, for his sake, will. Act with those types of customs with avelos when her husband is in mourning. V'chein hu, and similarly he, ein avelusa mutul alav, el lefanei ulechvoda. The other way around is true as well. When she's in avelos, he acts that way in order that she should not feel like she's in avelos by herself, and he's acting as if nothing's going on. Rather, that he has to sort of act, again, that idea of imo nochi b'tzara, I'm with you in difficulty. There's the idea of sort of drawing the suffering upon yourself in order to empathize with one's fellow. And so when it comes to a spouse, that makes sense. And now the Gemara brings a certain amount of basis or background which sort of supports this idea that Rashi told us. The idea of Yimah Anochi B'tzara, the idea that the husband and the wife sort of have to suffer together with their spouse. When they're not together, there's not that need to empathize and to show the moral support. Like Rav said to Chia, his son, Ba'apa no gavilusa, d'lo ba'apa lo tino gavilusa. He said to his son, whose wife was in mourning, when you're in front of her, you should act with mourning, and when you're not in front of her, you don't need to act with mourning. Let's take a look at Rashi. When his father-in-law died, in front of her, you should be no gavelus. Not in front of her, it's not necessary. So as of now, up until this point, we've pretty much been comparing various types of avelus to each other. The distinction that I'm referring to, which is the one the Gemara is going to mention shortly, is the fact that there might be a difference between the avelus that exists when a person is a chassan and just got married and is only together with his wife once, and the avelus of later on in marriage, where he has been married for a while and then he or she loses the parent. And Rav Ashi now makes that split. He makes that distinction. Rav Ashi says, "Mi kamadamas avilusa da hachala avilusa da alma." You're comparing here the avelus of over here to the avelus of the world of in general. Avelusa da alma chomer. Excuse me. The avelus in general is more chomer, is more strict. Velo asi lizulzulebe. He's not going to just be so easy to consider it little, to belittle it and to act as if it's not there. And we know he's going to respect that iser, and he's not going to be over, even if he is in fact being miyachid of his wife. Avelus is the hancha, but this avelus of over here by the chasen, kiven de ikilu rabbanon, since the rabbanon were mekel. In other words, we know the rabbanon sort of made an exceptional halacha over here, where you have them being together, then the burial, then the shavar brachos, and the shiva. So even mixed in with the mourning, there are certain aspects of simcha, and in terms of from a mourning perspective, that's certainly, you know, a more of a kula. So since the Rabbanon created that kula, he'll come to be mizalzel and not be as careful with that halacha. So the Gemara asks, my kula, what kula was there? Ilim v'diktani bo'al bilas mitzvo poresh. If you want to tell me the kula of the avelus is that we allowed them to be together once before the burial, that aspect of it is not quite significant enough to make him feel the Rabbanon were makel by this avelus. Because by that aspect, the avelus had not yet been chal. Mourning, the status of a mourner is given to a person who's relative has already been buried. But before the burial, they're considered an onin, and they don't have those halachos of avelus yet. Right? Because we know that status is not given. Eli Rabbi Eliezer ad shiyatza mafteach habayis, excuse me, mipasach habayis, Eli Rabbi Yeshua ad shiyatza magolo. So this is a machlokas that exists not to be found in Ksuvus, it's found elsewhere. Rashi tells it's to be found in Moed Katan. They argue exactly when the status of an avel is given. Is it to a person? Is it when they leave from the house? Meaning, when they leave from the house, I guess, to go to the Beis HaKvaros, or perhaps it means after they come back from the cemetery the first time and then leave. But I would imagine it means after they when they leave to go to the cemetery. And according to Yeshua, it's the status is not given to them until they set up some kind of a monument there. And exactly what that monument is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether it means an actual monument or does it mean the cover to the casket. But we know that that status of mourner is not given. So why exactly would that be a kula, the fact that they allowed the husband and wife to be together? It's before the burial. It's before he's considered a mourner. So the Rabbanon didn't give any kula about actual laws of mourning. It was before he was really a mourner anyway. So that's what the reason is. So he's not going to just be so easy to belittle that iser. El, diktani, rather, it must be that which we learned in the Braisa. No ikshiva simeha mishta ve'achakach no ikshiva simeha velos. The idea that he has sheva brachos before the avelos. In other words, after the burial, at that point, he should be a mourner. He should have the status of a mourner. And yet we tell him, okay, now go have 7 days of partying, and then you'll sit sheva. So he's not so likely to take so seriously that iser of avelos of not being sleeping in the same room together with his wife during that entire period. And because of the fact that the Rabbanon gave a certain amount of kula. Okay, so again, just to clarify, sort of summarize, this entire discussion was sparked by Rav Yosef's explanation of the Braisa that Pisa Ishta Nida, person whose wife became a Nida when they were going to the chuppah, when they were about to get married, is not allowed to sleep in the same room, is not allowed to be miyachid with her if they had not yet been together. But Rava, Rav Yosef told us in the name of Rava, if they were already together, they could be miyachid. If the Isser at play in that instance is the Isser of Nida. So now, let's see if we have time. Let's take a look briefly at Tosfos. Tosfos asks, Umi shayni bein avelos didei la avelos dida. Is there any difference between his avelos and her avelos? Right? We know the Gemara had brought two different brisos, which seemed to indicate there's a difference between his avelos, which seemed to indicate, based on Rav Yosef's understanding of our original brisa, and then the two new brisos, which had said that by Nida, she's not allowed to be Mosegas Lokos, and by Avelos, she is allowed to be Mosegas Lokos. It forced us into saying there's a difference between his Avelos and her Avelos. However,
the Gemara then questions that premise altogether. Who says you can say such a thing? Maybe there is no difference, and we have a brisa that seems to indicate that there is no difference between his avelos and her avelos. Tosus asks the following very piercing question. Tema. It's a wonder. Tosus says it's a wonder, this Gemara. It doesn't make any sense. The Belav Mils of the Rav Yosef Havi Masi Lemifrach. Brisa Sa'adadi. That without Rav Yosef, they would have also been able to ask these two brisas on each other. Again, we said that this entire thing was sparked by Rav Yosef's comment on that brisa, which would seem to strongly imply, and we know that generally the Gemara has a very distinct flow and builds on itself, it would seem to imply that any questions we ask subsequently would not be true if you were not dealing with Rav Yosef's statement. And then you're never able to be miyached before Rav Yosef came along, whether you were with her or not, during that time, during that period of Isser. So what exactly would the question be? Tosus seems to feel, though, that even without Rav Yosef's comment, we still would have a question. And therefore, the question has nothing to do with Rav Yosef's comment per se, but rather is a question in general, which is a legitimate question, some kind of a contradiction of sorts, but has nothing to do with the discussion that we're having now, because the discussion we're having now was purely motivated by Rav Yosef's statement. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at two of the brises, which I think Tosus is saying contradict each other. We have one brisa which says, by a case of avelos, in Adam Rishai Lokov as Ishto Lihios Kochelas Velihios Pokesas. Ve'emes Amru Mozeges Lokos Mazes Lami Demachas Lopanov Yadavaragov. That was the first avelos brisa that we quoted, barring the original brisa that we had quoted, the first pure avelos brisa that we had quoted, which said that by avelos, a person is not able to force his wife to wear certain makeup, and however, she is able to sort of do these things in Mosaic Lakos and wash them and spread out the sheets on the bed. And yet, the second brisa that we brought to support the idea that there's no distinction between his avelos and her avelos said, Mishmeis chamav o chamoso, eini yachal lakof es ishto lios kochalat lios fokasas, elakof amitaso benoigim avelos. So what exactly is the theory that Tosus wants us to ask? Not so clear. In other words, it seems like Tosus is bothered that there seems to be some contradiction between various brises about the Halachos Avelos. However, what that theory would be without Rav Yosef is not so clear. In other words, when you have Rav Yosef, so our Gemara flowed very well, we understood what all the questions and all the answers were. Now Tosus seems to be telling us that without Rav Yosef, we also could have asked a steer between one brisa and another. What exactly would that steer be, though, is not so clear. A further point, just now we were discussing the potential steer between the brisa of in the Mishai Lakov Ezecholios Kozlos Lios Pokesas, and the later brisa with the two of them together, there seems to be no distinction between his avelos and her avelos. However, perhaps a third option might be, or a second option might be, that Tosus is bringing up some contradiction between what we see in our original brisa and the avelos brisa that we brought later on. Let us assume for one second, we know the Dibur HaMaskel of Tosus is somewhat significant, that he's bringing in a stira based on the brisa that he's Dibur HaMaskel is going on, which is Umishani bin Avelos to Dibur Avelos to Dibur, the brisa which questioned the entire distinction between his Avelos and her Avelos. Could we find a contradiction between that brisa and the original brisa of Avelos, which said, Bol Bilas Mitzvah Porish, right, that whole case, that whole situation in our brisa? And perhaps we can, because over here in our case it says Eino yachol lokof es ishto lios kochalos lios pokesas elakof amitaso v'noigim avelos. that he's not able to force her to put on any makeup, but he has to sort of fold up his bed, that terminology of making his bed more uncomfortable, and act with her in an avelos type of way, in a mourning type of fashion. And we, if you remember, the original reading of that brisa that the Gemara had was that, sorry, let's just hurry this question up so then we can call it a day. The original reading of the brisa was that imo meant with him imo b'mita. That in itself is a contradiction. Didn't we say that a husband and wife are not able to be miyachid together when they're in avelos? And yet now we're saying, in this brisa, assuming to the Gemara's original rendering, understanding, I should say, of the word imo, is that they are together, and they are able to be miyachid with each other. That in itself is inherently a contradiction. Tosus goes on to give an answer that there would be a distinction we could draw if not for Rav Yosef, but again, that cheshbon, not so simple. But Tosus feels that, again, we only ask the question based on Rav Yosef, and the flow seems to indicate that, and yet we had a question without that. Tosus feels that the legitimate question to ask on the Gemara, that even though the Gemara had a legitimate contradiction, if that contradiction was a contradiction before Rav Yosef, this is not the place to discuss it. That was Tosus Kasha. We'll hold it here for now, and we'll continue with Amar Mar, Bez Hashem, next time. Have a good week.